Greetings and salutations, everyone. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I'm the net control operator for this, the Limark Technical Net. It's been going strong for over 45 years now. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m., we sit in front of our radios and we chat with each other and we teach each other, we learn from each other, and hopefully we entertain each other. And I thank you once again for joining me this Sunday night at 8 p.m. when we try and do it all over again. Let me drop for a second, and I will give you the usual link. Okay, if you want to reach me via email, my email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. Also, if you want to reach Paul and tell him about a space story or a NASA-related story and see what his take might be, you can reach him. His email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. We offer a link page of all kinds of very interesting articles and YouTubes. I have a bunch of them tonight. Some of them have something vaguely to do with my little AI comments at the beginning, but there's a lot of others that are totally not AI-related. So if you're interested at your leisure, not probably listening to the Technical Net, but after the Technical Net, and it's live forever and ever and ever, you type into your browser roy.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you the link page. We also offer an audio stream of this Technical Net, and I leave it on the rest of the week because people ask me to. So if you want to listen in to the Glen Oaks repeater, and you don't have a radio, but you do have an Internet access, just type into your browser technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you up the audio stream of the Glen Oaks repeater. Also, I want to remind everyone that Mike, KC2NJI, has a great archive site. It's called amateurradio.tv, and it has archives of the Limark Technical Net that go as far back as September of 2006. So avail yourself of the wisdom of people who've moved away and, unfortunately, others who have become silent keys over the years. Let me drop, and I'll tell you what we got planned. Okay, a usual TechNet. I have a couple of pithy comments to make about artificial intelligence and artificial intelligence news adjacent. We'll take any comments, if you have any comments, and then we'll move on to the main segment, which is questions, comments, and topics of interest. Hopefully the first few will be amateur radio related, but we'll accept any science and technology questions or comments or topics, and I'll do my best to explain the things I know about it and hopefully learn a few things from you people. That should take us to approximately 10:15. Paul will join us for the SpaceNet report, and that should take us eventually to 11 p.m., where I will return and tie a bow on everything and wish you well for the coming week. That's the plan. If the shack has nothing strange happen to it, or the repeater, or myself, and I don't get thrown off of All-Star too many times. Usually it's about once or twice every Sunday night, but we survive it. You know, if you lose me, if I go silent, give me a minute or two to kind of reset a few things, and usually I pop back. So that's our plan. So let me drop, and I'll tell you what I got to offer you as far as artificial intelligence. It's a kind of a weird, semi-political, you'll please forgive me, but it is very closely adjacent to artificial intelligence. Let me drop. Okay, the biggest thing, in my humble opinion, in AI news this past week has been somewhat political. Apparently, Claude got into a fight with the Department of Defense, I refuse to call it Department of War, about opening up all the safety measures that Claude uses in its artificial intelligence. It does not want Claude to be used for mass observations of people, and it doesn't want Claude to be able to fire weapons by itself. It wants a human being to be the last decision maker. Because apparently, at least the people at Claude watched the Terminator movies. Unfortunately, you know, although Claude is sticking to their, you know, that Claude is, they're sticking to their rules and regulations. Now, OpenAI, good old Sam himself, made a comment that he agrees completely with Anthropic, which are the owners of Claude, and then apparently turned completely around and said, "Yeah, we'll make a deal with the Department of Defense." So that's Sam being Sam. Now, keep in mind, recently there was a report of a research team that took a bunch of different artificial intelligence and simulated war games. And unfortunately, all of the simulations eventually ended in the use of tactical nuclear weapons. So apparently AI is perfectly fine with starting World War III. So, you know, if you had plans in the future, you might want just World War III. So that's, I think, the biggest news with AI. Also, this past week, there's been a lot of talk about agents. Those are other programs that kind of use and operate artificial intelligence programs. And since we got Claw is one of those agentic type of pieces of software that you give them the keys to your car, you give it to your bank account, and you tell it what you want it to do, and hopefully it doesn't bankrupt you. So unfortunately, this new idea is going like gangbusters, and it dropped the value of a lot of tech stocks over the past week. I think they lost something like $800 million in cap value because everyone's afraid that all the old tech companies are going to go out of business and they'll be replaced with AI. That's AI's dream come true. I don't think it's going to happen. Of course, if you've been reading the news, Block, which is the company that's owned by the guy who used to have Twitter, a guy named Dorsey, let go of an enormous number of 40% reduction in their workforce, and their stock value went up. So apparently, people in the stock market really like to see unemployment. Let me drop for a second. Okay. NVIDIA, by the way, is still doing very, very well. But other tech giants are not doing terribly well. So, you know, six of one, you know, half a dozen of the other. So that's about it. And just to kind of, it's very interesting that the Pentagon had a fight against Claude from Anthropic and settled with OpenAI, but there's no talk of their favorite AI guy, Elon. Grok was not mentioned ever in any of that story, so I don't know if Grok already agreed to not have any safeties on it, or just the Defense Department isn't that interested in Grok. I don't know. And just to show you that Elon is a pain in the backside for other people other than us Americans, recently he announced that he's going to support a new British political party. It's called Restore Britain. Really right-wing, really anti-Muslim, and surprisingly, in addition, one of their planks is to make kosher meat illegal to be sold in the United Kingdom. So he's keeping up with his right-wing stuff. So, and he's not just doing it for us. He's doing it for the benefit of the world. So anyway, that's my two cents as far as mostly AI is concerned. If anyone has any comments, please hit that push to talk.
Yeah, WTVZ to that feature.
Yeah, you doubled. Rich, welcome back. What would you like to say?
A couple things. One thing, Grok was mentioned. Somebody in the Defense Department said that, you know, if we don't make a deal with Anthropic, we'll just go with Grok. But Grok is nowhere near as capable as quarters. So, and just to be clear, just so I have it right, Anthropic are the good guys, right? They want safety measures built in. Is that your understanding, Roy?
Well, the short answer is I think rather than this being a condition, a situation of white hats and black hats, I think most of them are gray. But I think Anthropic is a little lighter tone of gray than say Grok or OpenAI is. They come out of the president Amadeo comes out of the original OpenAI group when they were nonprofit. And when it was kind of exploded, he picked up his balls and went home. So he presents as a person with ideals than OpenAI. So the short version is yes, he's a relatively good sort of guy. He seems to actually have some morals and ethics, even when $1 trillion is at stake.
Well, the Defense Department has just realized that they're not in the driver's seat anymore, that these AI companies are, especially Anthropic. Anthropic Claude is known as the programming AI. You know, if you want to write a program, have Claude do it. And in fact, they not only do they have agents, but they have agents working with other agents. So they have like two and three levels of agents working on coding. And I watched an hour-long interview with Ezra Klein of the New York Times and one of the top executives at Anthropic, and he asked them, you know, what about entry-level jobs? Are those going away, entry-level jobs? And the guy from Anthropic couldn't... In very obscure language, sort of said that we can't control that. And the takeaway was that, yeah, there are entry-level jobs, especially in some fields, are not going to be there anymore. And college graduates are going to be in a lot of trouble in the next 5 years or so, unless they're AI experts. Let me let it drop. So his answer was, when you could read into it, was there's no way to stop it, especially for entry-level jobs. I had an experience, however, with AI. I forget whether it was Gemini or ChatGPT. It doesn't matter. But I had it write. I wrote a, and I spent a lot of time on it, a cover letter for my daughter to get this certain job. Spent a lot of time on it, and then I asked one of them, maybe it was Gemini, to please make this letter more forceful, more clear, and there was a third parameter. Anyway, it came back with the most gorgeous, most beautiful and beautifully forceful but humble letter, cover letter, that I ever read in my life. So, to me, that's an amazing thing that AI could do. However, I had another experience with AI which really pissed me off. Let me let it drop. I had an uncle who was very well known in the sports world. He owned a football team, an NFL team. And so I asked Gemini, on what date did his sister, my mother, what date did she die? And it came back with a completely erroneous date. And then it said that my mother was very big in charity work in Baltimore. Well, she never lived in Baltimore. Then it came back saying, giving the name of her sister, which was totally wrong. And then it came back saying, for some reason, that she and her sister were very close, and I laughed because they weren't at all close. So I got really pissed off because it has no way of self-checking itself. And instead of not giving information because it doesn't know the answer, it gives anything it comes up with. And I corrected it each time and said, you know, came back saying, oh, thank you for the correction. You're absolutely right. Blah, 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 blah. But it was very frustrating, and I was really pissed off at the whole experience. Go ahead.
AC2GS. Well, I mean, that's the primary flaw in generative AI. It only knows what it's been trained. And it is kind of designed to be very agreeable, very helpful, and offer things it doesn't have. It will almost never say, I do not know. Sometimes if you trigger things that it's locked out of, you know, if you say, how do I build the bomb, it won't really say, I don't know. It'll say usually something like, I'm not allowed to discuss this type of subject. And that's the problem. This is what it keeps on doing. It will never say, I don't know. And unfortunately, although it found the entry for your uncle, it probably was not taught anything about your mother or your mother's sister. And it will not say, I don't know, it's not in my data. It'll simply make a story up for you. And there's no way for it to check because it doesn't, you know, other than its actual database, its training sessions, that's the only thing it primarily goes on. So you're going to have that problem no matter what you do. I think you told me a year ago almost that it also, you did sort of the same thing with maybe OpenAI, and it got the name of your uncle's wife wrong, right?
Yeah, correct, it did. It got her name wrong. But again, you're right. If it doesn't have it in its knowledge base, let's call it a knowledge base, it comes up with anything. But if it doesn't have it, which it didn't have it, why doesn't it come up saying, sorry, we do not know the name of Selma Modell Rosen's sister, instead of coming up with, you know, like Phyllis.
It seems to be intrinsic in this method that they've come up with of generative AI. It's simply, it will struggle and delude in themselves into some kind of answer. They go back to the training sessions, which are basically probability functions. And for some reason, a probability of zero doesn't really register with this algorithm. So it has to supply an answer, even though it has nothing to correlate the answer with. So you could probably ask the question in a week or so, and they'll simply make up a completely different answer. But they'll never tell you that they don't know.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder if it learned from my responses saying, no, her name was not Phyllis, it was XYZ. I wonder if they learned from that or if they'll still come up with, boy, I wish I remembered which one I was using, but if it'll still come up with, you know, an erroneous answer or they'll learn from me saying, no, her name was. That's sort of like Wikipedia, you know, with anybody being able to add to the knowledge of the LLM. And they can't do that because all this, well, it's already giving erroneous answers, so what does it care if somebody says, no, her name was Barbara, and it uses that if anybody ever, you know, queries about it. I don't know, but it was pretty infuriating. It was an infuriating experience, I gotta say. And as you know, I'm a proponent of AI. I'm a big believer in AI. they can't say, I don't know, if they can't come up with it? I don't know.
Comment?
Yes, comment.
Well, this is Brian, KF2ZZ. I've been listening to your diatribe, and I totally agree with you, but you have to understand one thing. AI, if you want to call it artificial intelligence, which I don't, more of intelligent algorithms, basically is in its nascent stage. And anyone who listens to or poses questions to an AI chatbot or anything of the like should not expect to have a absolutely definitive answer. It's just not at that stage yet where it is factually correct most of the time. And I've encountered so many responses that were totally wrong that I always use it as a rough guide to get where I'm going and research out from there. I never take it as gospel.
As you should, Brian. It's an intrinsic flaw in the generative AI. Hopefully, sometime in the future, probably Google will come out with a more sophisticated method of simulating artificial intelligence. Doesn't have the intrinsic flaw that generative AI presently has. It's not a matter of getting more data centers. You can have as many data centers. You can cover the earth with data centers, but the intrinsic flaw of, because there's only so much available data. They pretty much kind of shoveled all that they could find on the internet into these models. And producing larger models is simply, they'll be scraping the bottom of the internet for a lot of AI-produced material. And when it starts to feed itself, it generally corrupts the entire database. So it's not going to get that much better. There's a good reason why no one's really announcing the kind of the next level advancement. Everyone's doing point this and point that and the incremental types of things. But to get back to what Rich said, the problem is you can't kind of train these things on the fly. They have to, you know, machine learning is a sophisticated thing that doesn't really easily happen while the person is using the product. So it will try to store temporary data. You know, if you tell them your name, they'll probably know your name. But when you leave the session and you come back later on, usually they don't retrieve that type of data. And it's another particular ongoing problem with generative AI. It loses the context of what you were talking to it in the previous paragraph often. And so a lot of times they've tweaked the algorithm to store your variables and reinsert them along with your prompts so that, you know, it's just the next proper way it reminds it who you told it your name was and such. So it's not going to learn it. Like I said before, my interesting premise is if you go back to this thing and ask it the same question, I would be willing to bet 100% that it'll get it wrong. But will it pull the same nonsense out of the ether, or will it simply pick a equivalent probability name for your mother's sister?
Quick follow-up.
Sure, Brian.
No, I agree with everything you said, Roy. I think what scares me is that people in general hear the letters AI, and it's been populated to the point now where it's borderline insanity that everything is AI this, AI that, people are going to lose jobs, and AI this. And, you know, honestly, I don't believe at this stage that anyone is going to lose their job over AI. I don't think the technology is anywhere there yet. Looking up articles, getting a Fahrenheit conversion to Celsius or something like that. That I see it could do, okay? But when it comes to complex things, things that involve human thought and weighing which is right or wrong, it's just not there. I mean, am I wrong?
Personally, I agree with you. This is a very sophisticated, very clever autocorrect algorithm with a massive probability, stored data. But people take it seriously, and it's just like the .com. If you own the company and you put .com at the end of its name, your stock value would go up 10-20% before the .com boom. Everyone has AI fever, and because, again, it's a very clever cocktail party trick, and human beings are kind of programmed to be impressed by the written word, because they read articles, magazines, textbooks, all these things. And so when an algorithm is taught to present text reasonably well with correct grammar and sophisticated big words, the default for us human beings is to somewhat assume that they know what they're talking about, even though they have no idea what they're talking about. So, unfortunately, everyone's being snowed to a degree. I mean, again, it's a good party trick. Now, you know, as far as using excuses, AI excuses, it's all over the damn place. I mean, go talk to some guys who were laid off by Block. Like I said, 40% they reduced the workforce, and the excuse that they used was not that they had overemployed people during the pandemic, or they had just been very optimistic about how much money they would make. They simply said AI can do the job better, and 40% of their employees are gone. And it's happening all over the place. A lot of companies are, at the very least, using AI as an excuse. Now, occasionally, I think it's legitimately what they think the reason was, because you'll read also some articles at the back of the newspaper where they rehired a bunch of guys because they found out that they actually needed them. But it's the primary excuse of major companies for letting a lot of people go. So it's not just the story. It's people losing their jobs and their livelihoods.
Yes, and I also like to add that it's of great concern when I hear that they're doing testing with AI, and in other words, simulating war games and seeing what the outcome will be and everything like that. I mean, look, there have been movies, there have been tons of movies, you know, regarding all this stuff with war games and everything else. You cannot, at this point in time, in computer information science, you cannot model and mimic the human mind when you don't understand the brain and how it functions.
Well, you might be able to if you get very lucky and you're very smart, but right now they haven't. They do not do original work. There's a lot of articles suggesting that they're just on the precipice of doing original work, but if you read the actual original paper, it's more optimism than anything else. Again, these things do not intrinsically think. They have no inherent consciousness. They have no sense of self. They don't know what the words mean. They just have a lookup table that gives them a high probability of people being satisfied by their answer. When good old Sammy Altman keeps telling people that AI is going to cure cancer, that's complete and utter BS. You know, unfortunately, I wish it was true. But this particular type of artificial intelligence just only knows, like I just talked to Rich about, it only knows what it's trained on. So, you know, if you ask it something that it wasn't trained on, it has no way of knowing, and unfortunately it seems to have no way of knowing that it has no way of knowing. So it's a massive flaw. You know, I mean, you know, if I give you a bowl of 100 M&Ms and only one of them is poisoned, You're not going to take an M&M in your hand, even though the chances are 99% that you'll live. You can't depend upon an artificial intelligence system that's occasionally completely wrong, especially one that seems to default with sending tactical nuclear weapons in war games.
No, I totally agree. I use Copilot, okay? I also use ChatGPT. Ask, and, you know, and they're all based on OpenAI, sorry. It's basically variations on a theme. It gets stuck where I predict it would get stuck. It's great for factual information, if it's not life-threatening or emergent. Otherwise than that, it's just at this point, it's good entertainment. And if people start relying on it as the voice of the human mind, they are sadly mistaken.
AC2GS, I agree with you, but just for the sake of nitpicking, the underlying way that artificial intelligence these days is being used is something called generative transform. A generative transform was not something invented or developed from OpenAI. It was actually based on a significant paper that Google wrote, I think about 2018 or 2017 or so. So it's based on generative transforms. OpenAI is the one that we all know and love because they came out with ChatGPT as the first AI. Microsoft has invested in OpenAI, so their AI is very similar, if not identical, to some aspects of ChatGPT. As I mentioned earlier, the guy who runs Anthropic used to work at OpenAI, and he took his ball and went home, and so it's very similar as well. But probably Google is surprisingly placed for the long run because they have an endless supply of money and they make their own chips, so they don't need NVIDIA. But, you know, time will tell exactly what goes on. But, yeah, again, the problem is that AI, the way we know it, is meant to pump up people's ego. That's what gives people these AI psychosis. You have this AI that doesn't know what you're talking about, but it picks words to agree with you. So if you tell someone that you think your mother is going to kill you, it won't question that. It'll go from there and accept it and kind of build you up. And if she can't kill you, you'll kill her first. And before you know it, you have a lunatic killing people. So again, it could be useful. It will be useful. I think there's billions of dollars of profit to be made. Unfortunately, in this form, I don't think there's trillions of dollars of profit to be made. And they're betting trillions. So when they don't get their trillions back, there's going to be hell to pay in the economic sphere. It's going to disrupt all kinds of financial functions in the world. And, you know, we're going to have to deal with it.
Coming.
Yes, Wesley.
Interaction. Yeah, I think you're trying to say that AI poses risk ranging from bad decision making and security vulnerabilities to ethical dilemmas and societal disruption. So, going deep into the words, is there bias and discrimination, but you?
Is there bias?
Bias and discrimination. So let's say we have applicant tracking systems, right, that may discriminate against genderless healthcare diagnostics, can be less accurate for underserved populations, and predictive policing with policing tools, some sort of disproportionally targeting mechanism for communities Is that correct?
Well, yeah, culturally that's true. I don't know where it plugs into AI. AI is very sensitive to the type, the way that you weigh the probabilities from the different source material. The reason, I assume, that Grok is significantly different than all the other AIs is because Elon is sort of training it with weighted research into his Grokopedia, which is a kind of a right-wing version of Wikipedia. But you know, most of the AIs tend not to have a grievous of biases built into them. The Chinese ones do. They have political biases. If you go to a Chinese AI and ask it about some terrible disaster that where the Chinese government killed a bunch of people who were protesting, it'll tell you that it doesn't. Well, that might be a case where they'll say they don't know what you're talking about. But there's bias any and everywhere. Most of the time, AIs don't seem to present with a severe bias because the requirements of processing and training information, they're very greedy and they'll take any source. So Reddit gets thrown in there. I assume even 4chan gets thrown in there, but hopefully they weight them differently. So the short answer is everything that has something to do with human beings tend to have an intrinsic bias, in my humble opinion.
Are we turning into human horde that has few people benefiting from whatever this situation is with AI? So that means people will voluntarily agree to give out their freedom of expression, the rights as a citizen of the United States of America, because they make money on it. But there are only few people, and the rest of it would be used and abused. Did I say something smart, Dr. Ray?
The hell is with a sign?
Unfortunately, a lot of people are frightened. And a lot of frightened people are more than willing to give up a lot of their intrinsic rights. They'd rather be safe than free. This is kind of the mishmash that humanity has always been. You'll always find people who are willing to submit to a stronger-willed individual. And you'll find people who will not submit to anyone. And they're always a rebel, and they're always an anarchist. So, you know, and you have a distribution of all those people, you know. There's a certain percentage of the American public that would be more than willing to exchange their right to vote for some other thing, like any kind of ensure that, they'll be able to feed their children and house them. It's an ongoing problem, you know, of our species, and I don't think there's an easy solution to that. Usually on a good day, democracy kind of balances these things, but it's always possible to be biased and tilted. And especially these guys who've got billions and billions of dollars and own a lot of the infrastructure. They own X, they own, TikTok, they own major cable companies and motion pictures and broadcasters and all kinds of things. There's too many fingers on the scale. We need Teddy Roosevelt to kind of come back to the living and break up big companies, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Zoe, did you comment?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian?
Yeah, I just want to comment on it. In communist times, there was a folder for everybody. And that folder was pulled out when there was a need for it. Are we becoming a nation, we Americans, becoming a nation of the people who have file. And few people would have access, but not the guy about whom that file is. Dr. Roy.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this a lot of times, that privacy is kind of a thing of the past, not because our nature has changed, in my opinion, but simply our abilities to store massive quantities and retrieve them on demand have improved because of computer technology. There are people who think that the government has a file on every last one of us, and I think in the past that was just much more paranoia than anything else, but as time progresses, and there have been reports that people like Elon basically kind of raided databases and separate computer systems in the government in order to compile a massive file of everything. So it's certainly going to be a trend unless we pass a bunch of laws to disallow things like that. And, you know, I mean, you have massive billion-dollar companies like Peter Thiel's company Palantir, that their reason for being is to be able to massage databases of massive quantities of private information. So, you know, privacy is difficult during these times. And, you know, whether or not we decide to pass laws about limiting what can be collected on us all depends upon us in the end. Unfortunately, I think TikTok and X and all the others will suggest to the public that they give away their information. I think Sam of OpenAI is trying to promote an ID device. It's a big sphere that has an optical scanner, and it scans people's eyes. And, you know, he would like to have everyone's identity scanned and recorded. So it probably would make Face ID much easier for him. So, you know, which side wins in the end, I don't know. But there is a battle for your information. Yeah, whenever you don't pay for a service and it's given free, it's because you're the product, not Facebook. Facebook makes a lot of money by retrieving a lot of data about every single person who uses Facebook, and they make a nice bit of change.
Thank you very much, Dr. Roy. There was somebody else who wanted to make a comment.
Yeah, I think it was Brian.
Yes, correct. You know, with all of this, when you hear the letters AI, it's so easy to remember. AI this, AI that. When I was in my high school days, early college days, I remember a program, I think it was called Eliza. And it was able to go ahead, it was like a little psychologist. You would type in something, and then it would say something back to you that says, you know, maybe it is working, or maybe it does something. You know, there's a lot of games being played here on people. And I'll give you a prime example. You speak to AI, whether it be ChatGPT, Copilot, others, okay? And you get an answer, and you're impressed because it's giving it to you in a sentence that's more complete, more rounded, and you feel comfortable with it. It's the same thing like looking at a picture of a poisonous fish that looks like it's smiling. It's hardwired into our brains. When you look at a poisonous fish that looks like it's smiling, it's not smiling, it's just the shape of its mouth.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you're kind of repeating what I said about 25 minutes ago, that it's kind of designed to make you feel good about it because it's very agreeable, it's very pleasant, it promotes you, it blows smoke up your backside, if you will. But it does it very, very well, and that's why it enchants people. That's why it's a parlor trick. We've talked about also Eliza more than a few times, you and I. And it's a much less sophisticated, it simply had keywords, and you would trigger the keywords, and it would respond with a short list of possible responses. And, you know, I mean, it was kind of easier to figure out that there was something weird going on, because if you rephrase things, you would get the same exact responses often, or it's very easy to confuse it. So, I mean, this is Aliza, not on steroids, but on steroids for steroids. So, but again, it fools a lot of people, and it gives people a false sense of security and a false sense of accepting these people as this program as an authority figure, and that's the problem. When you start to decide that an artificial intelligence is your psychiatrist, you're in danger of getting yourself killed, because that thing's going to make you believe the weirdest things about yourself. You know, that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, with no mathematical training, you've come up with an equation that solves all the ills of mankind, and it's just a matter of publicizing this equation that doesn't quite make sense to you, but the AI assures you that it was the work of a genius, and you'll get Nobel prizes for it, and all that you want. You just have to, you know, blow up a bomb or something so that people will listen to you.
Critical comment, and here's my critical comment. When you deal with things like algorithms that could do simple things or even complex things like protein folding or analysis of one or two things, and it could do variations on a theme, that's one thing, okay? That's what algorithms are good for. But when you start putting it into the mainstream and putting it with data and having people listen to it or interact with it on a personal level that sounds human, that, for me, scares me. Another case in point that I don't want to get off the subject, but autonomous vehicles, okay, use AI in one shape or form. They're branded with AI capability. Okay? They shouldn't even be on the road. There's nothing that mimics the mind of a human. There's nothing on this planet right now, not even what IBM has. I know they're working on Deep Blue or something like that for specific tasks, like I said, and chemistry, biologics, protein folding, checking reactions, traits, things like that. I think it's great. But once they branded it with those two letters, okay, it went haywire. And everybody uses it, and they don't know what it means.
Well, I mean, ultimately, I agree with most of what you said, but even IBM, Deep Blue, I think, has been a bottomless pit of wasted money. They were building expert systems back in the day. So they had expert systems for mammograms and radiology. They had expert systems in medicine, and little by little, they basically shut everything down because did they find abnormal mammograms faster and more of them than a radiologist? Yes. Did they find false positives that turned out to be nothing, that led to biopsies where there wasn't any particular thing to biopsy? Yes. Did it save money? No. So far worse than with the medical expert system. So that was kind of early AI before generative transform technology. And now they're going to try it once again, and most likely they're going to have a problem once again. But so even those things are flawed. So, you know, the difference between specialty pseudo AI and general AI is purely the number of people they roll it out to. you know, radiology AI is only going to go to radiologists or radiology suites. You're not going to download it and make x-rays of yourself and ask it what it sees. But if you have some kind of general AI that chats to you about anything and everything, then and for these guys, again, they got to make $1 trillion profit. They're not going to make it out of even the medical field. They need humanity. It's sort of vaguely like Elon's nonsense that Tesla is going to be worth trillions and trillions of dollars because he's going to sell billions of $30,000 robots to every single human being in the world. You know, there are human beings in this world, unfortunately, that they won't even make $30,000 in their entire lifetime, unfortunately, because of where they happen to have been born. But that's the whole point of this exercise. Everyone has to know it and love it and use it, and use it as often as possible and pay as much money as possible. Right now, almost no one wants to pay almost anything. You know, they're paying $20 a month, they're paying $200 a month. It's still a loss to the company. You know, they'll make $8 billion and they'll lose $10 billion. So, again, it's just what hype does. There's been hype like this throughout the ages.
Comment?
Yes.
Well, you recognize a double earlier. Never checked who the second station was. That was me. But also, a request. You guys are really fast-keying time and out things quite often. Let it reset. There's nothing that needs to be that fast. KC2, SHO.
I'm sorry, John. I didn't catch anything, your name or anything, and I wasn't looking at my screen to see that it was coming from you. So, unfortunately, a lot of people have a lot of opinions, and it's a lively topic this week. Sometimes I bring up AI and not much of a response, but this particular week, a lot of responses and a lot of semi-emotional ones. So I'm sorry that we're all quick keying over you.
It's not the quick keying over me. It's that you're not allowing the system to reset, so you're timing me out.
Again, I'm sorry. Did you want to say something about AI?
I've got a few comments with AI.
It's a bunch of fucking bullshit.
You ready for that?
Don't fucking come over here telling me about some fucking cotton like a fucking bullshit. You fucking put your wiki or your wiki.
Comments?
Yeah?
This is Alpha Echo 2, Yankee Tom. May I speak?
Certainly.
What role did AI have in the Iran invasion that just occurred?
Well, that's an interesting question. Unfortunately, it's kind of like most military questions that they're not going to tell us for at least a long time. There was some talk that the imperative from the Defense Department of opening up the safeties was partially driven from their desire to utilize Anthropic's Claude for some of the some work. Again, I don't think at this point the Defense Department is going to fess up about anything, and I probably wouldn't believe them no matter what they said. You know, they could just as likely tell me that Santa Claus is a real person. So, unfortunately, until someone quits or retires or, you know, and writes a book, we're not going to hear the inside story. I wish I could tell you, because I'm curious as well.
Echo 2, Yankee Golf, Sam. I'll tell you, quite frankly, the only thing AI could do would be to run through many, many different scenarios faster than humans could to see what would happen in the event they change certain variables. Maybe they don't need AI to do that already, but that's the only way I see it come into play. And more importantly is that if AI can save lives in a warfare situation, that is maybe has some actual value, but only the government could afford it. Anyway, back to you, Roy.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of places you can plug in present-day AI algorithms. Pattern recognition, satellite detection algorithms. We get a lot of satellite feeds, high over Iran. So you can have it try and figure out what those structures might be. As far as war plans, as I mentioned before, that's highly problematic, especially in light of the recent research paper that demonstrated that AIs will very readily employ or recommend employment of tactical nuclear weapons into any kind of war game, which, you know, that's not a great idea. And I don't know if they know how to kind of iron out that little bug. So there's a lot of things that you can theoretically do. Whether they're worth the effort or worth the risk of getting them wrong depends, I guess, on the individual type of situation. I mean, they could use AI to kind of figure out how to get people from A to B, how to man all of the equipment. They had a massive a naval procedure going on there, and they still do. So there's probably a lot of things that you can plug into artificial intelligence to model things and to suggest how the most efficient arrangement of personnel and weapons and such could be done.
A comment.
Okay, Brian.
Think is AI, instead of artificial intelligence, think of it as augmented information. Okay? Augmented information. So when you research out something that is not medical, that is not life-threatening, that is just very, very casual, consider it to be a guide, okay, of you doing your own research, okay, and maybe pointing you in a direction or maybe even some things that it aggregated that you didn't know before. But to go ahead and use AI, like, for example, I have a friend of mine, and she was going for a mammogram, and she told me, she goes, oh, it's now 3D, AI enhanced, and everything like that. I said, you need to have it done correctly by a trained, radiographic technician, and you have to have all the views taken, and it has to be interpreted by a radiologist, not by AI. The only thing AI, okay, again, that augmented intelligence, okay, or augmented information, is to go ahead and look for, like, maybe patterns or shapes that may not be correct or something like that. But it's not, nothing replaces the eyes and the technical capability of being done right in the first place without them.
Well, yeah, but unfortunately, you know, put yourself in the other guy's shoes. I wave a wand and you're Sam Altman. Forgive me for that, but it could be worse. You could be Elon Musk. You're in debt for about a good $1 trillion. You've talked a whole bunch of other guys investing $1 trillion. And now, you know, you got to actually pay that $1 trillion back. Do you want to use artificial intelligence and tell people that it's going to cure cancer, or you want to tell them that it's a glorified Wikipedia?
Well, if you're basically, you know, honestly, I understand where you're coming from, and I don't disagree with you. But, okay, what the problem here is that this reminds me of the dot-com boom and a dot-com bust. And something tells me there's a close parallel here, because they're buying chips to process vast amounts of information, but it's the information that's all